Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, March 19th. Happy Saturday. I'm reading from the New International Version. Today we pick up in Exodus in chapter 6, starting in verse 13, and we'll go through verse 27. In this section, we are connecting Moses with the genealogy around him to show that he is a part of the Hebrew nation. And he and his brother Aaron kind of give some creds to the fact that they're going to lead their brothers and sisters out of Egypt. In this section, I will not be reading every single word. I may give some summary statements. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families: the sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel. And then he gives the name of four sons. These were the clans of Reuben, the sons of Simeon. And then he gives the names of six sons, one of whom was the son of a Canaanite woman. Then he gives the names of the sons of Levi. There are three. It mentions that Levi lived 137 years. And then it gives the sons of Gershon, which is one of the sons of Levi. Then the sons of Kohath, which is one of the sons of Levi. And in this lineage, he mentions Amram, who is going to be the father of Moses. Then the sons of Merari, another of the sons of Levi. And finally, it gives the genealogy of Amram. It says Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. Then it mentions the sons of Izhar and Uzziel. These would be uncles of Moses and Aaron. Verse 23. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab and sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Then it mentions the sons of Korah. And finally, in verse 25, Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Petuel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. This same Moses and Aaron. Now let's move over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 88. The subscript is really interesting here. It says, "A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah." So this was a group of people that led out in the songs who were descendants of Korah that was mentioned in the genealogy that we just went through. And then it says, "For the director of music, according to Mahalath, Linoth, a Maskil of Heman the Ezrahite." Heman, according to 1 Chronicles, is the grandson of Samuel, and we learn from his ancestry that Heman was one of the men chosen by David to be over the music service of the temple. In this psalm, you'll notice that Heman calls out to the Lord three times. He calls on the name of the Lord. Verse 1, "Lord, you are the God who saves me. Night and day I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. This is a very bleak psalm, but it is also a very honest psalm where Heman is crying out to the Lord. And the term here for Lord is Yahweh. This is the Creator God, the one who is self-existent. This is the name that God gives when Moses asks, whom should I say sent me? I am who I am. The NIV Zondervan Study Bible says this about this psalm. This is the darkest psalm in the Psalter. Whereas the Psalms of Lament typically contain some statement of intent to praise God when he answers the psalmist's prayer, Psalm 88 does not do this. Its presence in the Psalter shows that a believer can feel depressed and even have nothing good to say to God at the moment. The psalmist can barely gasp a few hints about his positive feelings toward God. For example, he affirms his relationship with God, calling him the God who saves me. And he prays to this God. He also assumes that praise is the normal mode of life, and he wants to return to that mode. But his feelings are overwhelmingly negative. The psalm thus exemplifies a believer's proper response in the depths of despair, when sometimes all one can do is pour out one's heart to God and simply wait. Let's move over now to the book of John. Today we're reading John chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," he said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I want to do a little recap of the text. So today in Exodus, we learn that Moses is of the line of Levi, which would have been one of the 12 tribes of Israel or sons of Israel. And then in the Psalms today, we read Psalm 88, which may be the darkest of the Psalms. Typically, when there is a lament psalm, so when you're crying out to the Lord, at the end, it comes back to this declaration of praise. Lord, when you do this, or in the midst of me lamenting, I'm going to praise you because I've seen what you did in the past. And this psalm is absent of that kind of praise in the midst of the struggle. It's a really honest psalm that helps us to have language when all we can do is cry out to the Lord. And then in this last passage in John, we are in the part where the evil one has entered into Judas, and Judas has come with a detachment of soldiers, and they've come to arrest Jesus, which I thought was interesting in light of the fact that we just read Psalm 88. I want to go back to verses 5 and 6 again. Verse 4, it says, "Who is it," Jesus says, "that you want?" And they reply, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says to them, "I am he." Remember some weeks back, I told you that there are at least 7 I am statements in John. I am the bread of life. I am the way, truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. Well, here, this may also be a veiled reference to the fact that Jesus is claiming to be divine, that he is the same God that in Exodus revealed himself to Moses as I am who I am. So Jesus says here, I am, which in Greek is ego eimi, which is pointing to who God is in the Old Testament. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with him. Notice what happens next. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So it seems as though the soldiers realize the magnitude of what Jesus is saying, that he is saying, I am the one who was creator and sustainer of this world, and you have come so that I might die. It's a very, very interesting passage, and it's a very bleak passage. And for us, we know on the opposite side of the resurrection that God is at work even in the depths of the difficulty. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful Saturday. I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would just encourage them in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for helping us continue on this journey of reading your word. Help it never be just to check off the passages on a list, but continue, Lord, to transform us. Continue to help us to see you at work in our lives and at work in your scriptures. We pray, Lord, as we prepare this weekend for worship tomorrow, that you would give us just an excitement, a readiness to see you and worship you together in corporate fashion. Lord, we each have something behind our eyes that we struggle with, and we cry out to you. We ask, Lord, for your work and your hand, for you to be present with us. We love you, Lord, and as well as we can, we recognize you as the I am, the one who was and is to come. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.